Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for that presence in this place this morning. Thank you. We can never take you for granted. You mean the world to us. Thank you for those who are here. Thank you for those who are online. Thank you for your presence fills this place just as it fills theirs in the name of Jesus. Thank you for encounters this morning that will shape us for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Always a pleasure to be here. You can sit. Always a pleasure to see you all. As you do so, open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to open to a few scriptures. Good to see every single one of you. Happy to see you all and be here this morning. Glad to see Doctor this morning. It's a pleasure to catch you in Ibadan. And not just online. And of course, we thank God we have great Pastor BJ. I mean, oh, you don't think he's a good pastor? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Of course, I salute all the leaders. And as you can guess, I am sometimes online. Sometimes afterwards, I'm watching. Actually, many times, I'm watching the messages. And such a blessing. Amen. If you know some of the things that I know, then you value what comes out of here. You know, and I'm ever so grateful to God for the messaging, ever so grateful to God for the kind of leaders we have, and how in sincerity of purpose they serve the Lord, and teach us, you know, from His holy presence. Amen. As I prepared, actually I'm speaking on levels of faith, but as I taught and prayed about, you know, being here today, this was an extremely busy week. But as I did, somewhere along the line, I felt God say, have a miracle service. So we'll have a miracle service. And somewhere also along the line, in recent times, God had been dealing with me, because I'll minister in many different ways. I do minister in many different ways to people. And oftentimes I would minister that now even without the laying on of hands. But I think that I'll lay hands this morning. In recent times God began to deal with me also. And said there's a reason why I put a tangible healing anointing in your hand. And for those who have known me for a while, very often I minister with a tangible healing anointing. That is, I can actually feel something. And God said there's a reason and a purpose for that. And you are laying hands less and less. And he says you'll have to lay hands more and more. Amen. So we will get there. Hallelujah. But first Timothy, we're going to look at the certain scriptures that I'm speaking around this morning. And like I said, I'm talking about levels of faith. Can I hear you say levels of faith? So that already tells us that just like you go through school, university, and there are levels, faith also has levels. Okay, so you can have some faith, little faith, great faith, but there are levels. It's not all the same that everybody has. The beautiful thing about faith, though, and I'm sure you know faith, Hebrews chapter 11, you know, tells us about faith. He said, by faith, we know that the worlds were made. He said, no, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's verse 1, isn't it? So verse 1 tells us what faith is. Okay, verse 2 tells us that by it the elders obtained a good testimony. The old King James says a good report. Okay, so I always think about that like the report card. So you get a good report from school, you know, a good report card. On Friday, my daughter sent me something from school, an assessment report of her mathematics. And she said, Daddy, I smashed it. You know, so when I called her, I said, this is the daddy of the girl who smashed. And I'm happy you smashed it. Amen. You know, so we obtain a good report. And then verse 3, it tells us, say, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So I always say that verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, gives us quite an overview of faith. Number 1, it tells us what faith is. So verse 1 tells you what faith is. You know, faith, I think I'll need a little volume if I will not lose my voice. today. So just a little bit more. So verse 1 tells us what faith is. He said faith is the substance of things hoped for. 1 says faith is the certificate, the seal of hope. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So when I have faith, it's as good as I have it. Okay. When I am convinced in my heart, like one translation puts it, it said faith is being convinced of the things that we have not seen. So being convinced, we have not seen it, but I am just sure. I am convinced. So that already means that I have it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when I speak to you and I show you and I say I have land in, where would we say now? In Bodija. If I say I have land in Bodija, you are not going to ask me to bring the land to show you. You are only going to look at paper. Am I right? And when I show you the paper, you accept that I have land. You have not seen the land, but you have seen the paper. So the faith is like the paper that shows that I have what you cannot see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So verse 1, faith is that conviction. Once I have that faith in my heart, that thing is as good as done. Verse 2, it tells us what faith does, okay? And by faith, it says that the elders obtained a good report. This says they obtained a good testimony, meaning that if I'm going to have a good testimony, if things are going to happen for me the way that I want them to happen, then I will have to know faith. I will have to live my life by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, meaning that not that we bounce, you know. So there are some people, in fact, one day my son was walking in front of us, and my wife said, oh, he walks like you. And he had a bounce, you know. He had this bounce. And I said, no, I don't walk like that. She said, you have not seen yourself, you know. She says, he walks exactly like you. But that's not what he's talking about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When he says that we walk in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. It means we have our manner of life by faith. It means that our lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith. It means that we apply faith to everything that we do. Can I have an amen? It means that no matter what it is, how small or how big, we are expected to apply faith to it. Why? Because it's by faith that the elders obtained a good report. So if I'm also going to have a good report or a good testimony, I'm going to have to believe God. I'm not going to have to depend on the things that I know or the things I think I know. I cannot depend on my skills. Can I have an amen? I cannot depend on my connections or network. I'm going to have to just believe God about every single thing. Can I have an amen? You know, so if I'm there, I mean, there used to be the lady who would cook and the husband would not, you know, he didn't like her food because the husband had been a bachelor for a long time, you know. But when she learned to begin to pray about the food and say, dear Holy Spirit, you will help me now, the husband would eat the food and lick his fingers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, what had changed? She started applying faith even to the simple act of cooking. Are you hearing me, anybody? I said, are you there? So verse 1 tells us what faith is, and by telling us, it says that faith is this, okay? Verse 2 tells us what faith does, and that is that faith helps us to obtain a good report. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Why am I putting all of this together? Because it's important that we understand the centrality of faith to our walk as Christians. Are you hearing me? Remember, I'm talking about levels of faith this morning. It's important. We will talk about faith again and again and again and again and again. Somebody once said to Kennedy again and said, when will you stop teaching this faith and this Mark 11, 23 and 24? He said, when you get it. Are you hearing me? How would we know when you get it? When you start walking by faith. Can I have an amen? Okay, so 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 also tells us, he said that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, even our faith. What is that saying? He's saying that, look, whatever is born of God tends to have victory. You remember our convention is coming and it's always victorious. So anything that is born of God has victory, meaning that there will be challenges, meaning that there will be things that will come against you and I. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But victory means that I'm going to win at the end of the day. Okay? But how will I win? The Bible says, what is the secret ingredient of their victory? It's what? Even our faith. Are you still there? So even our faith. Somebody once said to me, he said, look, my jollof rice is a world champion jollof rice. Are you there? I said my jollof rice is the best. Anybody who eats my jollof rice knows it's the best. So what's the next thing you say to such a person? What is the secret of your jollof rice? Because everybody is cooking jollof rice, isn't it? So if you eat your jollof rice, especially if a lady who cooks jollof rice every Sunday, you know, goes ahead and eats another lady's jollof rice, and that jollof rice, even that lady says, this jollof rice is very sweet. What's the next question? How do you cook your jollof rice? What do you put inside? What is the secret ingredient? That's the same way the Bible is putting it, that anything that's born of God overcomes the world. And what's the secret ingredient that overcomes the world? Is the faith. It means that every time you see anybody who seems to have victory in their lives as a child of God, then you need to know that secret ingredient is no longer secret. Can I have an amen? That secret ingredient is their faith in God. Hallelujah. And verse 3 tells us how faith works. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The words of God. So how does faith work? By words. Can I hear you say by words? Faith is what? Word activated. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Mark 11, the Bible says that they were walking along the road and Jesus saw a fig tree and it had leaves but it had no fruits. And then he cursed that fig tree and the next day they were coming by and Peter looked at that fig tree and it was dried up from the roots. And Peter screamed, alas, master, the tree which you cursed is dried up. And Jesus said in verse 22, he said, have faith in God. Another one says, have the God kind of faith. And then he tells them, how does the God kind of faith work? He said, if you will say to this mountain. So the very first thing you have to know about faith and the operation of faith is that it is what? Word activated. Can I have an amen? But 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4. From verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Go to Romans chapter 12. I think I should just read everything before I carry on. Romans chapter 12. Are you there? We read verse 3. He said, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, this is my emphasis, as what? As God has dealt to each one or everyone a measure of faith. Can I hear you say God has dealt to each one a measure of faith? Go to 2 Thessalonians. So I spent all of that, you know, time that I already spent, and I'm only just starting. Are you with me? I spent all of that time to say to us that faith is central. Faith is key. Faith is important. But we read first, the Bible says that in the last days, which is where we are now, some will depart from the faith. So Christianity as a whole is referred to as the faith because of the centrality of faith in God in the tenets of Christianity. So back then you just say the faith, those of the faith, because that's what they were known for. Are you hearing me? We would even use terms like what? Believers. Why? Because Christians are supposed to be believers. Can I have an amen? They believe. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So I read the three scriptures. The first one warns us that there will be departure from the faith. Okay? So I came this morning to strengthen your faith in order to prevent you being a fulfillment of a prophecy of a departure from faith. Can I have an amen? You know, some time ago, my mom was in Lagos, came to church, and I was ministering, preaching that day. And afterwards, she said to me, she said, I was very blessed today. She says, because you address certain things that had been troubling me. She said, I have a friend, and I knew the person. She told me who it was. I said, I have this friend who just has stopped going to church. So you can imagine my mom's friend. So you can imagine at that level, at that stage, at that age. You know, usually at that age, those who didn't know God begin to serve God. They go to church every day, isn't it? They go for prayer meeting. If you call prayer meeting at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, they are the ones who will show up. Are you hearing me? But at that stage, for someone to now not even go to church on Sunday itself. I said, it's the same thing. They've been saying this. There's nothing different. It's all. She said, so it had been troubling her that can somebody just go away that way from what she had always known? And I'm not saying more so that the identity won't be revealed anyhow. You understand? In case somebody who knows her would listen. But I told her, I said, the Bible predicts that. However, if you stay with God and you walk with God and you do the things you need to do and you have the right understanding, you can prevent some of those things. So that's what we hope we get this morning. Are you with me, anybody? I said, are you here? So there are even people now, you know, I've met even people now who talk about, we want to go, we are not dealing with colonial religion, we are going to the belief system of our fathers. Not the one the white man brought to them. And I say to people that, you know, that when I hear that, within me I'm sad. I'm sad only because I know that, just like 1 Timothy chapter 4 warns us, that there is a deception in there that they did not recognize. What's the key deception there? Is that if you say it's a religion of the colonial masters, you are wrong. You know why? It even started off from the Middle East. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's Christianity as in following Jesus Christ himself. Of course, before then, there were predictions about Jesus Christ. There's an Old Testament, okay? But Jesus Christ, all of that began from the Middle East. And Christianity got to Africa before it got to Europe. So I said to them, it means they don't know. They don't read. There is a deception of devils. You understand what I'm saying? There was somebody thinking, hey, go to Africa. How? When? Hey, you read your Bible now. If you read the book of Acts, you would have discovered somebody called an Ethiopian eunuch. Do you remember that, anybody? The Ethiopian eunuch got saved very early on in the church age and took that Christianity to Ethiopia. If you've been to Ethiopia, you'll find out that there are churches that are thousands of years old. Are you hearing me? Thousands of years old that you will not find in Europe. It's a deception. And recently I've been telling people some of the other things. I did a whole church history teaching in the Bible school where I took up the whole church history globally and brought it down to what happened in Nigeria. But we don't have time for that here because that took us about 2 to 3 hours, you know, to go through, explain things and how the things have worked out and evolved over the time. However, I like to tell people something. But the Bible by itself speaks of a divine backing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible by itself is believable because there's something incredibly divine and supernatural that stands it out from every other book and every other religion you can think about. Are you with me? The Bible is about 25% to 30% prophecy. Contains about 2,500 prophecies. About 2,000 of those prophecies have already happened. Are you following me, anybody? About 2,000 of them, that is if you start from Genesis till now, about 2,000 of them have already happened with incredible accuracy. Meaning that the Bible is not just believable, but it's provable. It means that you can actually check and say, okay, this thing, it said this, and that happened with incredible accuracy. I was reading, I think it was yesterday, about what the psalmist, which is David, wrote, okay? And that was prophetic. Psalm 22. The things he wrote about Jesus, about how he will be crucified, about how they will shear the garment and all that, incredible accuracy. As to what then happened in reality, so many thousand years later. Are you following what I'm saying? So when somebody didn't just say he will die, he's describing and telling you events around it. They will fight over his clothes. They will divide it and all that. And it happens exactly just like that. One of the things you should pay attention to, when you are even reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is how he says, according as it was written. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still here, anybody? I'm telling you why I will not bet against the Bible. In fact, you know, with the fulfillment of the prophecies right now, there is no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled now, according to the Bible, before the rapture takes place. Meaning the rapture can happen anytime. There is no other one. The Bible predicts a rapture, and every prophecy that it talks about before the rapture have already happened. None stands between, you know, now and the rapture. When you begin to look at what's happening in Russia and Ukraine and Iran getting involved, and it's all in the Bible. So you are looking at an incredible prophetic book. But out of which, out of 2,500 predictions, 2,000 have already happened, so we can prove it. And say the Bible said this and it happened accordingly. So we have just about 500 left. Are you with me? And to think that the Bible is 66 books written by 40 authors over a span of about 1,500 years, and the authors, most of them did not know each other and didn't know that at any point in time, the writings that they wrote will be compiled into a book with incredible agreement between the books. Are you telling me? Are you following what I'm saying? Tap your neighbor's side. Say this is serious. On top of that, it's the best-selling book of all time. I'm telling you something divine, supernatural, special about the Bible. Are you following me? There's no author. You know, Things Fall Apart is an incredible book, isn't it? It was written when? 1958. It was a literature student here. I think it was written in 1958 or so. Things Fall Apart. Oh, you're even looking at me like glucosate. You don't know Things Fall Apart? Nobody knows Things Fall Apart. Do you? Who knows Things Fall Apart? By Chinua Achebe. I think it was written about 1958 or 1978, something like that. And it's been translated into several languages. It's still being read today. Are you hearing me? That's amazing, isn't it? That's a best-selling author. But nobody beats the Bible. The Bible sells about 20 to 100 million copies a year. Are you hearing me? And I mean hard copies only. I'm not talking about the downloads. What makes it so relevant? There must be something supernatural about it. Are you still with me? And that's why, so the Bible tells us that there will be departure from the faith. But yet the Bible also tells us in the second place that we read, okay? It said God gave all of us a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. Now, a measure of faith is like saying that you went to the market and you bought a Congo of rice. I bought a Congo of rice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we all get the same Congo of faith, as it were. Everybody starts off the same way. God gives all of us the same measure of faith. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that that faith can grow. Are you with me? So it's what I do with that faith that makes a difference. That faith can grow, or even I can lose the faith. That's what we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I can lose the faith, or I can grow the faith. Of course, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that God is excited when our faith grows exceedingly. He's excited when we increase in our faith in God. You know, so when we believe God more and more and more and more, that excites God. And that means that's what's supposed to happen to each and every one of us. Are you hearing me? Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, though he was talking about character, but part of the things that stands Jesus out is his faith. He said, my beloved children, of whom I travail again in birth, till Christ is formed in you. Meaning that I want to get you to a place where you are just like that Jesus the anointed. Christ is not his son name, I hope you know. Eh? So it's not Jesus Christ. Don't you do bang door? Are you there? Christ is not his son name. It means the anointed. Which means that there were several Jesuses at the time. And they still exist now. There's some people called Jesus. Do you know that?
Okay, so what they were saying then is that when people speak about him, they'll say, Jesus Christ, meaning Jesus the anointed one. So when they are referring, they say it's the Jesus, the one that is anointed we're talking about. The Christ means the anointed one. Are you still there, anybody? So he's saying that I travail again until Christ is formed in you, until you walk the same way. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He says, if you say that you are in him, then you ought to walk as he walked. How did he walk? He had a life, a walk or a lifestyle of faith. You and I also ought to have a lifestyle or a walk of faith. Can I have an amen? And so we see that our faith can grow. And Jesus talks about, of course, three categories. There were three times Jesus referred to faith, and I'll use just the book of Matthew in all cases, so for congruency and comparison, okay? He talked about no faith. No faith. Meaning that it's possible for me not to believe God. That's not where we want to be. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's not talking about you. Right now. No faith is, I just don't believe. In Mark 4, you find it in all the Gospels, really, almost all the Gospels. You find, I think, in Luke 8 or so as well. He said they were in a boat. Jesus has said to them from about verse 35, he has said to them, let us go to the other side. And they got in the boat and they were going to the other side, and a storm arose. And the Bible says that Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat. Then they came to him. You know, I used to have a Bible which had all kinds of symbols and things to help you read the Bible and make it come alive. Because very often we read the Bible in a monotonous way. You know, so when they came to him, the Bible says they said to him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? So they didn't say that very nicely. Do you know that? They didn't come there and say, Master, don't you care? We are perishing. They didn't say that. Master! Don't you even care that we are perishing? They were angry at him. How many people have been angry at God? You know those prayers? How do we translate? Don't let the word, Abby. Say, where is my God? You know, you are angry at God. You are almost, if you could see him, you are almost slapping him. That's the way they behaved. They came there and they were so upset at him. Tell us down, not that we perish. And the Bible says he got up, he rebuked the winds, the storm calmed down. Then he looked at them. He said, why is it that you have no faith? Why is it that you have no faith? What's he talking about? What do you mean by why is it that we have no faith? We are seeing storm. You say, why is it that we have no faith? What he was saying to them was that, I have told you, let's go to the other side. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I didn't say to you, let's try to go. Are you following me? I didn't say, guys, let's try to go to the other side. I didn't even say to you guys, let's begin to go. And we see what happens. Are you with me, anybody? I told you the end of the journey. I told you, let's go to the other side. It means that anything you find between here and the other side doesn't matter. Are you hearing me? Anything on that journey makes no difference. You ought to have just kept your eyes on what I said will be the finality of that journey. Are you hearing me, anybody? God has said things to you. He has shown you things about your life. He has said, this is where I'm taking you to. Now you are fighting him over where you are now. Forget about where you are now. And keep thanking him about where he told you you are going. Are you with me, anybody? No faith means you ignore what is said. And you start paying attention to everything else. You just completely forget what he had said in the first place. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't ever forget what God told you. You know, God says something in the book of Isaiah. He said, I am God. There is none like me. He said, I am God. There is no other. I like it. He says, I'm the one who declares the end from the beginning. And then I say what? My counsel will stand. Do you understand that? I am like no other one. I just speak about the end from the beginning. And then I stand there and I remind you. But look, anything I have said will stand. Anything I've said will stand. I was watching Billy Buck. And he was teaching in a healing school. He was teaching a healing school, rather. And a lady, this was just teaching. So a lady there told him, which he apparently didn't even know. Amazing testimony. And this lady said, you know, I mean, after when he was asking questions and answering questions. And this lady said, I just want to share that 12 years ago I was in your meeting. She said, I had had an operation and they took out half of my reproductive organs. Ovaries gone, this gone, that gone. She said, half of my organs had been taken out. She said, but I was in your meeting and God touched me and I have 2 children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God doesn't deal with anything that happened in between. If he had showed her, you have children. That's all. Are you still there? You know, I was reading Acts chapter 7, and that's where Stephen was recounting, amazingly, Bible history to the Bible teachers or the Pharisees of those days. And he was telling them everything that happened from Abraham. And then he told them something. He said when God took Abraham and he appeared to him, he said God told Abraham, I will give this land to you and your descendants. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said it to him when he did not have a child. Aye. That's what struck me about it. He said God wasn't even talking to him about a child. He was telling him, I will give this land to you and your descendants. What was God saying to him? That child matter is a done deal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He didn't wait for him to have. He said, I will give this land to you and your children. God. He didn't have a child when he was saying it. Are you hearing me? So no faith. No faith means you ignored what God has said. Well, let's talk about little faith because Jesus mentioned little faith as well. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. And now I'm running behind time. Matthew 14. Maybe I shouldn't bother to read that because of time. Matthew 14. The Bible tells us a story again. Again, it's another storm. And this time around, Jesus has sent them ahead and he went off to pray. But then the Bible says he came in the middle of the night and he was walking on the waters towards them. They were caught in the storm. They were in a boat and Jesus was walking on the water towards them. And of course, the Bible says they screamed because they thought it was a ghost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They thought it was a ghost. It shocks me how many people believe in the diabolical more than they believe in the power of God. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, I'll rephrase it. That's big grammar. It shocks me how many believers believe in Aye and the Ayes than they believe in what God can do. I've said things to people before that there was no way I could have known. And they will say to me, who told you? I said, the Holy Ghost. They say, who told you, Joe? And I'm thinking to myself, they have absolutely no faith in God and the power of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think Billy Buck said he gave somebody a word of knowledge and the guy said, you must be a mind reader. You know, so it shocks me how believers believe more in the diabolical than they believe in God. Are you still there, anybody? Listen, anything you see is a copy attempt of what God can do. All of the negative powers, all of the diabolical powers, they're just copying God. Because I discovered, even in the book of Colossians, that everything that was made by him. And without him, was nothing made that was made. And they were all made for him. And the Bible says it includes principalities and powers. Are you still with me, anybody? So the biggest of them all is God. The Bible says Jesus was walking on that water in the middle of the night and they were screaming, ah, it's a ghost. They didn't say, wow, Master Jesus, you are doing another one. Oh, wow, Jesus, you are amazing. They say, hey, how are you? Are you there? And then Peter looked up and he said, Master, if it's you, bid me come. Meaning if I can get a word from you, I can do anything. Are you there? If it's you and you say anything, then anything is possible based on your word. Just like what the mother told the people at the wedding feast. And said, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. What you need is for him to speak. Are you hearing me? But the moment he can say something, then you can hold on to what he said and take it to the bank. You know what I mean by that? It means you can be so sure of it and you can bank your life upon it. Hallelujah. And then he said, look, if it's you, master, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got up and began to walk on the water. Somebody said he didn't walk on water, he walked on the word C-O-M-E. Are you hearing me? He was walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. And the Bible says he looked around and he saw the wind blowing. And it was boisterous. How many people have ever been to the beach before? You need to do excursion. I don't like water. When you see water, you say, whoa. So the thing was blowing, and Peter looked at it, and the Bible says he was afraid. And he began to sink in slow motion. Because the Bible says beginning to sink. So he was sinking, 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 slow motion, just sinking, sinking, sinking. When I sank, I was trying to swim. I can't swim. I was trying to swim when I was leaving secondary school. We had just finished exams. And I said, I need to go and swim. Now I can get something to teach me. So I was saying, I need to go and learn. And then we jumped in the water. And I did. I said, at least that's what they do, isn't it? They put the leg like this and do all the answer. So I did everything. But I went down. And then I hit my knee. As I was doing, I hit my knee on the floor of the pool. And they had to carry me home. Because by the time we reached home, my knee was that big. And I couldn't walk. And that ended my swimming escapade for all of those decades. But yet, I sank. But Peter was beginning to sink. He was sinking in slow motion. I sank in fast motion. Are you with me? So the mercy of God was at play. That ensured that Peter didn't just sink, but he was beginning to sink in slow motion. And then he said, Master, help! And Jesus said to him, why, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? What was Jesus saying to him? That when you have little faith, you start to consider all of the surroundings. You have God's word. You've started. You are acting on God's word. And then you start to begin to look at all the circumstances around you. And you begin to start doubting God again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You begin to mix. You have a mix. Are you hearing me? You know, sometimes you get a diagnosis and what people do, they say, I trust God. God will heal me of this sickness and this condition. Then they go to Google. And they start checking what happens with this disease. And Google says, this disease, it gets worse. It can never be cured. They say, hey. But they were believing God for a cure. Are you following what I'm saying? Does this sound familiar? Huh? And so they are mixing. They were believing God. By stripes I was healed. But they are checking Google. And Google is saying it's not possible. Nobody gets healed. They manage this thing for life. Are you hearing me? That's Peter. That's Peter in action. So if you ever laughed at Peter, that is you. If you ever thought what was wrong with Peter, that is you. Whenever you went to Google, that's Peter. He didn't have Google then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he looked at the wind and Jesus said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? What Jesus was telling him was that your walking on the water had nothing to do with the wind. Are you still there? The wind can be very calm and you still won't be able to walk on water. Have you tried walking on the swimming pool? Huh? Have you even tried your bathtub, fill it with water and walk on top? Jesus was saying, it has nothing to do with this. It has everything to do with my word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are times when things are happening for you. Things are working for you just because you believe God. Don't begin to look at the circumstances and then you begin to doubt God again. Will God ever do it? No. And sometimes what God is making to happen in your life is happening in progression. You need to recognize it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes the miracle is not instantaneous. It's happening in progression. And you need to recognize that something is happening. Something is happening. For instance, if you had a disease and you had certain symptoms like pain, for instance, and the pain disappears, it's a sign that something is happening. Somebody said, but I can still feel the thing. But the pain disappeared. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to celebrate that the pain disappeared. The pain is not supposed to disappear. It disappeared, so something is working. That's the word, come. I'm walking on the water already. Are you with me? Remember Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8, parable of the sower. Do you remember it? He said there was those that the word was sown. But the care of this world, deceitfulness of riches. So they are paying attention to too many things around. He said entering in chokes the word. And it becomes unfruitful. So the word was there. The word was going to bear fruit. But there are too many things entering in at the same time. And they are choking the word. Are you with me? I said, are you there? You've gone quiet. Number 3, talked about great faith. That's the categories Jesus talked about. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus talked about a centurion. Or we read about a centurion who came to Jesus. And he said, you know, my servant is sick. Please come and heal him. And the Bible says that Jesus was going there and he said, no, you actually don't need to come to my house. He said, all you need to do is speak the word only and my servant will be made whole. And ultimately, cutting the long story short, that man's servant got healed because Jesus said, yes, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And he said, I have not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. I haven't seen such great faith. He said the same thing of the lady, Matthew 15, who came, Syrophoenician woman, the Bible called her, and said, my daughter is demonized. And the Bible says at first she was talking and Jesus completely ignored her. And then she fell before him and worshipped him. And he said, you know what? We can't give the bread of the children to the dogs. And she said, even if it's dog, the dogs can hit the crumbs. Are you hearing me? And Jesus said, oh, great is your faith. The great faith are the people who hold on to God's word irrespective. We can go from no faith to little faith to great faith where all we are looking for is God's word. When we get God's word on a matter, it settles it for us. Are you hearing me? And that's what God expects of you and I. That we will come to the place where it doesn't matter what's happening. All we say is, I need to go to God. And once you are before God and you find God's word about that matter, it settles it completely for you. You don't worry yourself anymore. Are you still there? You look, and I mean, there have been there have been times, you know, that there are stormy issues. But when I hear God's word, I just stay calm. And I said, it doesn't matter. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to do anything, but I've heard God. And once I've heard him, of course, from his word, I'm settled on that matter. Are you with me? That the time we're dealing with my mom came to see me, and she had a tenant. And this was, and this tenant was very problematic. And you're trying to get rid of tenant, the tenant is refusing to go. And then the tenant took her to court. And charged her for all kinds of things. And she was troubled about it. And she came to see me. I don't pray in a hurry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't pray in a hurry. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't pray in a hurry. Too many of us just pray. We rush to pray. Let's pray. Listen. All of those things only work when it's based on faith. And faith has to be based in God's word. So she said everything. I listened to her and I said, it's okay. Say, so pray with me. I said, okay. You know, and she left, and I was thinking about it, and I heard God's word. And it says, the rod of the wicked shall not exact upon the lot or the portion of the righteous. So I smiled, come. I called her and I said, you know what? All will be well. No problem whatsoever, because the rod of the wicked will not exact upon the lot of the righteous. That's all the prayer it requires. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because I found God's word. Many years ago, we were going on an excursion. Because I said you should go on an excursion. We were going on an excursion from medical school here in Ibadan. And as we were going, they said, you know, we got on the bus. We were still in UCH. And they said, Pastor, pray for us. That the journey will be safe. And I said, okay, let's pray. So I said, Father, we thank you because we know this journey is safe. How do we know? Proverbs 3:25. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says that he will protect you from sudden accident. So I said, I thank you because we know that you have gone ahead of us. This will be safe. And we will have fun. We will go, we will have fun, and we will return. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I finish, somebody said, what kind of prayer is that? They expect me to pour the blood of Jesus. 2 buckets, 3 buckets. How many buckets per kilometer? Eh? But it's based on God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, let me say to you 3 things very quickly so that and then I can stop. About how to increase or build your faith. Because we want to go, am I right? From no faith to little faith till we get to great faith. Am I right? Of course, number one, you know very well, which is you have to feed regularly on God's word. Can I hear say feed regularly on God's word? Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. 2 things you get from that scripture. Number one is the fact that that scripture is written in the present continuous tense. Those who didn't do English grammar or didn't go to grammar school, don't worry. It just means that the way it's written tells you that whatever it is that you are doing, you have to do it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Are you hearing me? So when it says faith comes by hearing, it means that hearing is what present continuous. You have to keep hearing and keep hearing and keep hearing and keep hearing. You must never get tired of hearing. Otherwise, faith goes. I think it's Proverbs 19:27. It says, cease listening to instruction and you will depart from the way of knowledge. So if you stop it, then you go backwards. From great faith to little faith to no faith. Are you hearing me? It means that, that daily Bible study is important, is sacrosanct, big grammar, to your growth in faith. Okay? I like a translation that says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is from God's word. Meaning that it's not just that I hear and hear and hear, but I must get what is the message God is trying to get across from this verse, from this chapter. When I get it, that's when faith comes alive in my heart. Are you hearing me? But somebody say, okay, so how will I do that? Again, by just hearing and hearing. What do I mean? Regular exposure increases the risk of your getting the message. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means that I can hear the same thing again and again and again and again. I can hear the same teaching on Mark 11:24 again and again and again. In fact, you know, recently, so I don't know what it is, but recently I'm studying my Bible just by myself, just in my room, not to preach. If you pick my notes, I write Bible study. If you find also in there are some that are messages and I put a title on them, but you find Bible study, Bible study. So when I'm able to sit down properly in the morning, no hurry, I sit with it and I'm writing Bible study, I'm writing things down. And one of the things that's been shocking me in recent times is that I'm seeing things that I've read. I've read the Bible, I don't know, at least one time through every year from about 1988, 89. At least once through, from Genesis to Revelation. But and sometimes, of course, you read different things also, apart from the regular reading that I'm doing. But I'm finding out that I'm seeing verses that I've read all my life almost, and I'm reading them, and I'm seeing things that I'm thinking, wow, I didn't see that before. Wow, I didn't see that before. So what has brought me to the place of saying wow over that same verse? Because I kept going back to that verse. Are you hearing me? John chapter 8. Jesus said, what? Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. But he said something before then. He said, if you continue, verse 31, in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So the continuing in my word is what makes verse 32 come to pass. That if you continue in that word, keep going back to that word, then you shall know the truth. Are you there? I said, are you there? Matthew 4:4, Jesus talked about it and he said, what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds.
proceeds, presence continuous, proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you with me? So he compared it to food. How many people have eaten rice before? You have eaten rice before. Don't tell lies. So anybody, you've eaten rice before. How many people have eaten rice at least twice this week? At least three times this week. Or last week, Danny. At least four times. Don't worry, don't be ashamed. What am I saying? The fact that you ate it once didn't stop you from eating it again. Are you with me? You still ate it again. Some ate it, what? On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Who's that? You ate it. When you saw it, did you say, I ate rice last week? So why do you do that to God's word? Are you with me? Philippians 3, Paul was telling them, he said, for me to say the same things to you again, for me it's not tedious, and for you it is profitable. That is, there's profit in my repeating it. Can I have an amen? Number two, fast regularly. We're talking about how you move along those levels of faith. Fast regularly. Matthew 17, you find the same story in Mark chapter 9, I believe it is. But Matthew 17, I like that version. The Bible says that a man had brought his child to Jesus, to his disciples, and they tried to cast out the devil that was demonizing or tormenting that child. They couldn't. And then Jesus arrived, and he said, Master, I brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cast out the devil. So I brought him to you. If you can help, if you can do anything, then help me. And Jesus cast out that devil, and the disciples were worried. So they went to him. And he said, Master, why could we not do it? Verse 20. And he said to them, what? Because of your unbelief. How many people have read that before? He said, because of your unbelief. He said, but this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. So some people say, fasting. If you don't fast, there are certain devils there in another category that you'll not be able to cast out. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Are you with me? When they asked, why could we not cast it out? He told them point blank, because of your unbelief. So the problem is unbelief. It means that anything else he said were things that will help your unbelief. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why couldn't we do it? Because of your unbelief. That's the answer. This kind going on, anything else helps that unbelief. So he was saying your fasting helps your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were asking Jesus at some point. They said, look, okay, how come everybody else's disciples fasted? Your own disciples, they chop, Amala, maybe, phew. Pandediame, for you, phew. They always eating, ogufe, cow leg, everything, eating. He said, your own disciples don't fast. And he said to them, he said, leave them alone. He said, the friends of the bridegroom will not fast while the bridegroom is here. He said, but when the bridegroom is gone, they will fast in those days. What was he telling them? He said, now they are seeing me physically. The reality of who I am and what I can do is standing in their very before. So right now, they don't see the need to. He said, but when they can't see me in the physical, but they will need to develop their spiritual senses, he said, then they will fast in those days. Are you hearing me? Meaning that fasting will make spiritual realities real to them. Are you there? 21 days of power is coming. That's why it's called 21 days of power. Because the unseen becomes real. God becomes real. Your situation is there, but God becomes more real than that situation. So unbelief departs, like the like that hymn says. I gbagbo bila. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number three, pray in other tongues. Jude verse 20 has only one chapter. And it said, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, pray in other tongues. Can I hear you say, pray in other tongues? Ordinarily, most times I'll spend all of the time teaching about God's word and your faith.
Okay? I was teaching about faith in some Bible school, and then people said to me that, look, they are selling mustard seeds in buses. And I said, what for? They said, so that people will have faith. Because Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed. It's amazing how people can take things so wrongly. Are you with me? He said, so they sell them in buses. I said, incredible. They said, another verified. I said, yeah, it's true. Okay? So we could spend a lot of time just on that one. But there are these other things that help you. Pray in other tongues. Said you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Why am I talking about it? Because the Bible says, you know, faith begins where the will of God is known. And the Bible says that when I pray in the Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27, it said I pray the perfect will of God because the Holy Ghost takes hold with my spirit and helps me to pray the perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians 14 even tells me that I can pray and I can get the interpretation of what I'm praying in other tongues. So there is a combination in there, I'm saying it very quickly so I can close, are you hearing what I'm saying? That attaches or allows my praying in other tongues to connect to the will of God and builds my faith. Because I know the will of God. Are you with me? Faith begins where the will of God is known. Meaning that if I don't know what God wills, how do I believe God to do it? Because he's not obliged to do anything that is not his will. Romans 1:11, I believe it is, tells us that he is cancelled by his will. Meaning that what tells him what to do is what his will is. Are you with me? I said, are you still there? So we want to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We want to go from no faith to little faith, to great faith. Let's stand on our feet.